John's Gospel and chapter 6. John's Gospel, chapter 6, in the early part of this chapter, up until the verses that we're going to read, the Lord Jesus has been speaking about himself. He has been emphasizing in some of the verses that he is the living bread. We're going to break into the reading at the verse 59, verse 59 of John chapter 6. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Amen. And we draw your attention to some of the words that we find written in verse 67. At the end of that verse, it says, it's really a question, a very important question. It says, "Will ye also go away? Will ye also go away?" Let's seek the Lord, please, together in prayer, just as we turn to his word. The part of Great Britain, or should I say the United Kingdom, that we are working in at the moment, there is very much happening all around us that we can look upon and say, this is the aftermath of a turning away from God. All around us in England, and I think in Ulster in some degree, there is what we can only term as a landslide departure from God. More and more it seems that God's word is being marginalized, parts are being taken out of it. It is being looked upon more often as a mere book rather than the word of God. And when we turn to this passage this morning that we've read together, we are primarily looking at men who were eyewitnesses of Christ's miracle. Men, some of them, who had been specifically chosen by the Lord himself. In Acts chapter 5, they had witnessed the wonders that he had wrought. They had seen the great works that he was able to perform. And they had known what it was to minister in the power of God, to witness for Christ, to preach for Christ, to see men and women from all kinds of backgrounds and of all shades of opinion won to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is said in God's word that they took note of them, that is, God's disciples, that they had been with Jesus. Now their sacrifice to follow the Lord was very clear to all, I believe. But it does say in this passage that in spite of all the things that had been witnessed and the blessing that doubtless had been enjoyed by many, It says in verse 66 that from that time, many of his disciples went back and they walked no more with him. Of course, that is a situation that I am sure grieved the Lord. Those who had seen his works firsthand, those who had known the tremendous privilege of walking with him in the flesh. But he turns now to those who were closest to him. Men who, if we may call them so, they were the cream of God's people at that time. And he looks to his 12 and he asks them this heart-searching question, will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? Now we need to remember, folks, as we turn to this question this morning, that Christ never misdirected a question. He never misdirected a question, and there is the implication here, as he said these words to them, that there was a possibility that they would go away. We need to remember that. And this morning, bearing in mind the words of Paul when he wrote to Corinth, and he said, him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Bearing in mind those words, we want to take this question this morning and lift it out and apply it and address it to ourselves. And we have all ages in church this morning. There are some folk who are older. There are many youths. And while the word would be appropriate for all this morning, I think that it would be good for each young person to listen to these words and take this question. And address it to our own hearts this morning. And answer it with honesty. Where it says to us, will ye also go away? Now, I want this morning to look at this going away. I want you to notice four things. I have here first of all what I've called the invitations to go away. Normally when a person comes to know the Lord, there is an interest in the work of God. There's that desire to come to meetings, to be with God's people, and usually before very long, the new convert is wanting to do something for the Lord. But we have to conclude this morning that it is a rare Christian indeed. However long we have been in the Christian pathway, whether we're just recently converted, or perhaps we've been in the narrow way for many years, it is a rare Christian indeed that does not receive invitations to go away from God. Maybe this has recently happened to you. Or maybe just at this time, there's some invitation or another and it's calling for your attention. And it's a strong temptation. I want just this morning to mention very briefly some of the invitations to go away from God. There is the invitation that comes from popularity. Everyone likes to be popular. And there's nothing wrong with having friends. It is a poor man indeed that would have to say he has none. But folks, if being popular means losing out with God, then it is wrong. It is wrong. We read in the Bible of a man called Demas. He was for a time an associate and fellow worker with the Apostle Paul. And on two occasions the great Apostle mentions him when he is sending greeting to different churches. Demas' name is there to be found. He's included among those that send greeting. Demas, a good man, a godly man. A man who had a heart for the Lord and a love for the people. But you know, there's another time when we read about Demas in 2 Timothy. When Paul was writing to him, to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And he says to young Timothy, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And you and I live in an age that is very, very materialistic. and growing more and more secular by the day. And all around us there are men and women who are worshipping, whether they realize it or not, the gods of wood and stone. And for the young Christian, the temptation inevitably will be there sooner or later to go with the crowd and be popular. I remember over in England some time ago, some people who had seemed to be an encouragement when we first went to Bridlington. And then the time come when the pressure was on, especially with some of them that were young. The pressure was on to go with the crowd and to not be so different from the rest. And those people today, it would have to be said concerning them, when we apply this to the work in Bridlington, that they have left having loved this present world and the draw of popularity and doing what the rest do was just too much for them, and they had to go. They went away. You know, if you note the time when this question is asked here, it was asked during the last 12 months of Christ's earthly ministry. And you consider this, that the Apostle Peter here who says, verse 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He really questions the Lord's question. And he's saying, Lord, you have nowhere else to go. You're the one with the word. Where else can we go to? 12 months down the line from this situation, Peter was with the world's crowd. He was with a crowd for a time that hated the Lord, and he could never have foreseen it at this time. Popularity is something that can take us away from God. And maybe, young person, as you've entered high school or perhaps university, the invitation is there. Come with us. Come with us. But I want to move on here and say that there's another invitation to go away from God, and it's the invitation of pleasure. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a bit of fun. I'm up for it as much as anyone else. There's nothing wrong with recreation. It is very important, in fact. And there's nothing wrong with many of the pleasures that we do enjoy. But the invitations to pleasure, which is sinful, abounds. On every hand, there's an invitation, here, there, and yonder, to get involved in that which will ruin our own testimony and drag the name of the Lord into the gutter. And you see, the Bible does not say there's no pleasure in sin, for there's pleasure in sin, but that only lasts for a season. And it would be very naive of me or you today to say, well, this can never happen to me. Anything that I'm involved in, I'm sure of this, that it's a legitimately good and wholesome pleasure. But is it not right to say that time and again the invitation is there to get involved in something which is not right? It may seem like pleasure. Sad to say, today many are going that road. And they're taking up the invitation, and they're going down that road. Do you know there's a verse that I want to leave with you just at this time? It's Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. It says here, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine own heart. If ever there was a day when people wanted to walk in the ways of their own heart, surely it's today. It says there, walk in the ways of thine own heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But the verse doesn't finish there. For it says, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. There's always a price to pay. Always a price to pay. And if you take your Bible and you trace through it, when people who were saved, when they got involved in pleasure, as they called it, but it was wrong pleasure, see where it led them. See the awful price that they had to pay. But there is something else, another invitation that can take us away from God, and it's a very strong one. It is the invitation of personal relationships. Personal relationships. If you read through your Bible of King Solomon, he was a great man. He was a great man.
He accomplished much for God. And apart from the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth, he was the greatest, the wisest man who ever lived. I'm sure you already know those things about him. But in 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4, there's something about Solomon which is not so good. For it says concerning his wives that they turned his heart away from God. His personal relationship with those women turned his heart away from God. And we cannot stress enough the awful danger of this situation. In your relationships and in mine, we would not want to be associated with people who turn their hearts away from God. We would not want to be with those who would seek to change our walk with God and to drag us in a different direction. A direction that would ultimately lead to us being among those in verse 66 that we read, where it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and followed him no more. How many times has that happened because of personal relationships? And how vulnerable each one of us are. Maybe you've received an invitation recently. And maybe it has to be said that even in some degree, you've accepted the invitation. Maybe it's a personal relationship with someone and you know it's not going to help you. Maybe it's not the personal relationship, but it's the popularity or the pleasure. And you say, well, preacher, I've been involved in this, that, or the other for X number of weeks and there's been no change yet. But we need to answer this question honestly. Has there really been no change? Brings me to my second thought this morning. We've noted here the invitations to go away. But I want you to notice the indications of going away. A person can live a double life. And all to the outward appearance, it wouldn't be hard to fool me. It wouldn't be hard to fool me. You can fool other people, but you can't fool yourself. You can't fool yourself, and you certainly cannot fool God. And as we look just now at the indications of going away, I want to notice some things with you. And we want to ask ourselves the question, has there been the absence of interest in any of these things? Maybe we've got involved in sinful pleasure. Maybe it's popularity that has dragged us away. Maybe a personal relationship has taken us further away from God than we ever thought it would. Well, the indications are here. Has there been an absence of interest in supplication? When you were saved, you loved to pray. You knew you needed to pray to grow and to stay close to God. But would it be right to say that in some degree or another that your interest in the place of prayer and maybe your frequency in the place of prayer has diminished? You know, all around us on the mainland, there is the evidence that perhaps two generations ago, people just stopped praying. They stopped praying. And even today in many churches, praying is not emphasized. But you brought up perhaps in a Free Presbyterian church in Coleraine, you know its importance. You've experienced the blessing that comes from praying. You saw God answer prayer, but it might be said of some this morning, no, the interest is not there as it used to be. You know, God would have his people to pray. I was looking at a verse the other day that reminded me of that. God would have his people to pray. It says over in Isaiah 59 and verse 16, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. He wondered that there was no intercessor. You and I, brethren and sisters, whatever age we may be, supplication, seeking the Lord in prayer is vital for our well-being as Christians. You start to go away from God. One of the indications of going away is that the prayer meeting doesn't mean as much as it used to. It doesn't mean as much as it used to. Is there an absence of interest in prayer, supplication? Is there an absence of interest in the Scriptures? When you got saved, you read your Bible, you listened to preaching. God helped you through it. God spoke to you. He instructed you. He guided you. This returning to God's Word is the whole secret of success as a Christian. Remember the word to young Joshua. Whenever Moses was dead and Joshua reluctantly had to step into his shoes. Over in Joshua chapter 1, the Lord had a word of encouragement for Joshua. He says in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, for thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." That's clear enough for us all this morning. But how easy it is, when we get involved in that which we should not be involved in, how easy it is to set aside the Word of God. That verse 8 in Joshua chapter 1, there's a meaning there of bowing down to the Word. But it says he's meditating in it. Bowing down to the Word of God. Maybe you used to do that. And God led you and God restrained you. And you took the Bible, God out of His Word. And for many today, I can certainly say in the land of England, for many, many people, the Bible is a neglected book. There are even so-called Christians who would gladly come to church, not our church, but the glad they go to church with no Bible at all, because they probably won't need it. Has there been an absence of interest in supplication or in the Scriptures? Has there been an absence of interest in the saints of God? Fellowship is precious. You and I, apart from seeking God in prayer and in His Word, we need all our Christians. And you and I, who are saved, we ought to value the presence of other saints of God. But it has to be said today with some, and I don't say this in an unkind way, it's just factual. There are those who were once found in the fellowship of God, and today, while they may come to church now and again, the fellowship with God's people means very little to them. I remember when I was first saved, I went to Dungannon Church. When I was first saved, there was a fellow there who took me round the doors to knock the doors and give out gospel invitations. And I was glad he was there, and he used to say things that they were probably, on the surface, they were probably very simple things, but I needed to hear them. And he said things that helped me. And he did help me in the work of God. But you know, there came the time when that man began to go away from God, and after a number of months, perhaps it was a year or a bit more than that, the time come when he'd long gone from the meetings, and if he drove down the road and I was walking up the road, he wouldn't even raise his hand. Of course, we hadn't fallen out or anything, but he just wanted nothing to do with the saints of God. That's a strong indicator of going away. You don't want to be in the prayer meeting. We don't want to be with the saints of God. We don't want to be in the Word of God. But tell me, has there been an absence of interest in serving the Lord? In serving the Lord. If you look in Mark chapter 6, turn to it just now in the verse 33. There's an eagerness there to serve the Lord. Mark chapter 6 and verse 33. It says there, "And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him." If you take that verse home and study it very carefully indeed, you'll see that there is a great desire to actually run after God, running after Christ. A desire to be there that was such that they outwent those, and they came together unto him. Is there joy still for you in serving the Lord? The Bible exhorts every Christian, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Well, whenever we start to go away, there's not as much interest in serving the Lord. We're more interested in serving ourselves and serving our desires. I go on and say, is there a lack of interest in sinners?
When you were first saved, you had a burden for the souls of others. But whenever you go away from God, it seems that hell is not as awful as it used to be. That when you look upon unconverted loved ones, unconverted neighbors and people that you know, hell is not as terrible as it used to be, because you're not thinking about the danger that they're in the way you used to. We could go on and on and on. All of these, I believe, are indications of going away. A lack of interest in seeking God in prayer. A declining interest in the Bible. No interest in fellowshipping with God's people. No desire to serve God. And no burden for sinners. Surely these are indicators of men going away from God. Or there can be a gradual slipping. And that itself is a great danger. And sometimes we may not be aware of it, but there is that aging away from God. I wonder in all of our lives as we search our hearts this morning, are the indications there of going away? Going away. I want to move on here and notice the implications of going away. The implications of going away. You see, many who have gone away have discovered relatively quickly that all that glitters isn't gold. All that glitters isn't gold. For many people, that which looked so enticing has proved a great disappointment. And how could it be anything else? And young people, this morning, we need to take this on board, that what the world offers you will inevitably and ultimately bring disappointment to your heart and life. It can't be otherwise when you turn away from God. Time is almost gone. We're moving on here. Not only disappointment, but one of the implications of going away is disillusionment. How many Christians have decided to run with the world for a while, and after a while they found themselves friendless, feeling empty, frustrated, not knowing what way to turn, and looking back on where they used to be with absolute despair. Those are all the implications, and we just mentioned them. Disappointment. Disillusionment and despair. There has to be those things, because going away from God will lead to you, young person, ruining your life. I remember hearing of a young man one time, and he was working in a large factory. And he was a Christian man, but he never had any testimony in the place of work. He laughed at their jokes, which were less than wholesome. He never mentioned the Lord. He never stood out in any way. And one day in that place where he worked, there was an accident. And another young man was badly hurt. And he was lying in the ground. This was many years ago. And what he cried out on the ground was this: "Would someone show me how to be saved?" That other young man, he thought, "Well, I'm saved, I can tell him." And then he thought of his friends. And he didn't tell him. And the young man died on the ground. And he went home to his wife in great distress, and he explained the situation to her. And she turned to him and said, "Well, why did you not tell him? Sure, you're a Christian." He turned to his wife and he said, "My life shut my mouth. My life shut my mouth." Dear young person, going away from God is a road to nowhere. It's a road to nowhere. There's nothing to be gained from going away. You're embarking on a journey that will bring unhappiness and dissatisfaction, and as I mentioned earlier, very often ruin to your life. Think of Saul in the Old Testament. I believe Saul was a Christian. But Saul was a disobedient Christian much of the time. And the time came when it was seen to all that he'd gone away from God, and what an awful price he paid for that. I think it would be right to say that there are some who this time 12 months ago were bright for the Lord. But today you would not recognize their lifestyle because they've gone away from God.
But remember this, the implications of going away will ultimately be disappointment, disillusionment, and despair. How easy it is to get away, but you can't get away without being a loser. You can't go away from God without being a loser. I have one final thought here, and that is the incentives not to go away. The incentives not to go away. There is every good reason why you and I should stay close to the Lord. There is, of course, the very obvious reason of contentment. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. And so it is. Christian fellowship, the joy that it brings, the warmth that we get from God's Word, the strength from the prayer meeting, a sense of purpose in life. You'll never find them in the world. And surely those are good and strong incentives for us not to go away today. Purpose in life. Peace of mind in knowing that we're walking with God. And prosperity in whatever we do for God. It may seem small, but it's still that God can still prosper your effort, whatever He gives you to do. You remember the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3? And he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Those were good words, but if you look at the verse 13, that was verse 14 I quoted. If you look at verse 13, he said, forgetting those things which are behind. And maybe God is speaking to your heart this morning and you say, well, I know in my own heart, I have gone away. My mother or father might know it, but I know it. What Paul says when he's writing to the church at Philippi, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark. Now, he had much to forget. And I would say to you this morning, young person or older person, don't let them haunt you. Don't let the fact that you have got away from God rob you of future happiness. You need to get right with God now. You need to get right with God again. And God's grace can accomplish in your life a testimony that will bring glory to Him and happiness to you. Perhaps you're saying, well, it's years from I went away and I've been backslidden from God for many a year. And the past is eating away at your heart this morning and tormenting you. Well, nothing's going to change until you get right with God. Tell me this morning as we bring this message to conclusion, are these not good incentives not to go away? Maybe the invitations are there and the pull of the world is very strong. And all the things that we mentioned, maybe more than one of them, are tempting you at this time. Well, the incentives not to go away is that God can give your life purpose. You have peace in knowing you're obeying God and walking with Him. And it can prosper anything that you do for Him. You'll not find that if you do go away. But if you have gone, don't continue as you are. Get back to God. Get back into fellowship with God. You think of Peter long ago. Peter was a man here who said to the Lord, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now you remember Peter. He was sometimes spoke before he thought. But he was a good man in many ways. And the time came, as I said, when he was warming his hands at the world's fire. But do you remember the message that was sent to the disciples when the Lord Jesus was rose from the dead? The message was, tell the disciples and Peter. It's as if Peter was specifically singled out because the Lord knew the state of his heart and he needed the encouragement. He needed to feel that he was worthy of something. See, Christian, you're still the Lord's child, even you have gone away. And we sang earlier on in the hymn, love with everlasting love. His love never changes. You know, if you serve the Lord with all of your heart, all of your days, He'll love you. But if you don't serve Him with all of your heart, all of your days, He'll love you just the same. His love doesn't change. But our enjoyment of Him can change. And we need to make sure that when we look at this question, will you also go away? We're going to say no. That we're going to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the the Lord. May the Lord help us today. And if there's one here and you've gone away, there's God's grace for you this morning to draw you back to Himself, and you can leave the building rejoicing again in what God has done for your soul. May the Lord bless His word to every heart.